Well, if we haven't met, I think I've met most of you. My name's Tanner, and look forward to teaching this class, Summer Sunday School, this summer. And so we're gonna be taking. So a couple weeks ago, Reese taught, and that was kind of the buffer of we were in Colossians last summer. Didn't finish Colossians. And so a couple weeks ago, Reese taught, and you guys read the entire book, is what I heard, right? All right. So between today and the next few Sundays, we'll be looking at the biblical design of the family. So we're going to be taking a look today at wives. Then we're going to take a look at husbands next week. And then we'll take a look at children, parents, the following week, and then slaves and masters the next week. So we're going to take a slower walk, and I'm really excited about it. We have a lot of passages that you can see that we have for this morning, and we most likely won't get through all of them. So those that we don't, we might visit next week, or you can. I would encourage you to read them in your own Bible reading as well. So anyway, so we are in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. It says these words from the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae and Laodicea, and through the power of the Holy Spirit to us today. Says these words, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." So one of my goals this summer for us is that I'd love to have more dialogue in this class. I'll plan to have some questions for us here and there. So if you respond, it's a big room, so make sure to speak up. And if you got a question for me, for the group as a whole, I'd love that just opportunity of dialogue and questions. So know that it is never rude to raise your hand. I don't care. You don't have to raise your hand. Like you can just stop me and say, "Tanner, I got to stop you on this one," or if you got a question or something that I said. So, all right. So that's my prayer for us. And so we're going to take a look at how to live as Christians. So specifically, the family unit is what we're going to be talking about over the next month is what we'll be doing. So speaking of the family unit, so each day, I try to read an article in Concise Theology, and J.I. Packer always has, he has a topic, there's a topic each day to take a look at in a biblical way, and on the family, he says this: "The family, the household, consisting of parents and children, with or without relatives, friends, and servants in addition, is the oldest and most basic of human institutions. The Bible stresses its importance as a spiritual unit and a training ground for mature adult character. The family has a built-in authority structure, whereby the husband is leader to the wife, and the parents are leaders to the children. All leadership is a form of ministry, rather than tyranny." I just want to repeat that, especially for today's verse that I think can often be taken out of context. All leadership is a form of ministry, rather than of tyranny. And these domestic leadership roles must be fulfilled in love. So that's what we're going to focus on today. These roles must be fulfilled in love, in the love of Christ. So as we take a look at Colossians 3:18, that's incredibly true. So whether it be speaking God's truth in love regarding the role of wives in the home, or within women in the church, we all know that this is quite heated within the modern church. I mean, if you had any of the news on, or if you're following the Southern Baptist convention this week, it was good news that they took a stand for biblical truth. Took a stand for biblical truth in reserving the role of pastor and elders to male leadership. The Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, says this: "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor." So does that mean a woman can't teach at all within the context of the church? Like you take Sunday school, for example. No, what this is meaning is leadership within the church, the role of the shepherd, the role of the pastor, the role of the one that is teaching the congregation at large. So for our culture to hear the truth, for a wife to be submissive, just that very word, submissive amongst churches. There's churches today that call themselves churches that aren't churches. There's over a handful of churches that I wouldn't classify as churches that were in a parade downtown yesterday. A group of people that have been given over to sin. That's part of the reason why we read Genesis 9 today, for the call to worship, reminding ourselves the truth of God's promise of the rainbow in the sky. So for our culture to hear the truth, for a wife to be submissive to her husband, it drives people crazy. We will talk about what biblical submission means in its context and applying it to today's modern world, in a corrupt modern world that we live in, and how we approach the living Word of God matters. How we approach the Bible matters. So if we try to pick and choose what we like and don't like, and believe and don't believe, and what we follow and don't follow in Scripture, there are many churches that call themselves churches that, when it gets down to it, they don't believe in the authority of Scripture. And that's the slippery slope. Mark?
I think that in the notes it says 2 Timothy 2, but I believe it should be 1 Timothy 2.
Okay. Yes. 1 Timothy 2. I'm sorry about that, and I maybe was a little tired yesterday. No excuse. But yeah, thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Copied and pasted from my notes here. Thank you, Mark. So again, how we approach the living Word of God, it matters. So the core of what this all means is it's ultimately an issue. What we face is it's an issue of submitting. the church, Christians, people, submitting to the Lord and loving him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. With loving the Lord, submitting to him with the fullness of self. So what God maps out for us in his word is the transformed way. The transformed way of living godly lives, Christ-like lives, holy lives that are set apart for our good and for God's glory. So again, today we're going to take a look at the Christian family. We're going to do so in a biblical way. The world we live in wants to do nothing. Wants nothing to do with the Christian family and the biblical church. We see it everywhere. You take time to really think about that truth, and you see it everywhere. What you end up being called for being a follower of Christ is you end up being called a bigot in today's culture for following the Lord faithfully and diligently in his word and in truth. So our main point this morning is this: God's design of the family is to be faithfully lived out in love by the church for our good and for his glory. Again, God's design of the family is to be faithfully lived out in love by the church for our good and for his glory. Pastor Kent Hughes, theologian Kent Hughes, includes this cultural and historical context for the verse that we're looking at in Colossians 3:18. He says this: under Jewish law, a woman was a thing. Again, under Jewish law, a woman was a thing. She was the possession of her husband, just as much as his horse or his flocks or his material goods were. She had no legal right whatsoever. For instance, under Jewish law, a husband could divorce his wife for any cause, while a wife had no rights whatever in the initiation of divorce. In Greek society, a respectable woman lived a life of entire seclusion. She never appeared on the streets alone, nor even to go to the market. She lived in the women's apartments and did not join her menfolk even for meals. From her, there was demanded a complete servitude and chastity. But her husband could go out as much as he chose and could enter into as many relationships outside marriage as he liked and incur no stigma. Both under Jewish and under Greek laws and customs, all the privileges belonged to the husband and all the duties to the wife. So what we need to hear is there's a shift with Paul in this. There's a shift with Paul from the Apostle Paul to the church. So the domestic rules given here in Colossians were vastly different from those of the day. Wives here, they're addressed equally with their husbands. So this was something radically new. And also both husbands and wives, they both have duties, not just the wives. They were both admonished in the Lord. So the context of this phrase begins in verse 17, which makes it clear that the totality of their lives was to be regulated by it. And that's going to be part of our focus this morning, that they're both admonished in the Lord. And again, we're going to focus on the role of the husband next Sunday. So this word from Hughes helps bring forth clarity of why Paul spent so much of his time and energy addressing the family. So on Friday night, this past Friday night, our youth group students, youth leaders, and myself, we got back from Bridge of Hope on our mission trip to Kansas City, and it was seriously a remarkable week. It was an amazing week of serving the Lord with joy and with gladness, and it was a week that I was get to the end of it and was bummed that it was ending. Grateful to be heading home, but I could have gone for another day, and to spend time with the kids, to spend time with Luther and Lenita in our youth group. So I'm incredibly proud of our youth and proud of our students. One of our students, Kendon Hager, had to leave a day early to attend a family wedding, and Kendon. He ran the sound booth, so all the AV equipment. He led that along with another student, and he let me know that he'll make sure to leave some notes for a couple of other youth group students to run the slides, run the music, and run the soundboard, because then later on Thursday and Thursday afternoon we had our opening and then we had our closing. But unbeknownst to me, so I didn't ask Kendon to do this, but Kendon wrote a couple of full pages, step by step, detailed instructions to follow for running the system. So to be successful for those couple of boys on Thursday. It was a good idea for them to follow those instructions of what Kendon wrote out, and those are now instructions that I've passed off to Bridge of Hope. That's going to be of help for them the entirety of the summer for any group that follows. The point here is magnify this for the instructions of a godly household for the text that we're working with today and in the coming weeks. Yeah.
To follow up on what you just said, it would be wise, I think, to always include verse 12 along with 18, because in verse 12 it says, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Amen. Yes.
It makes it very easy to submit. So, in keeping with what you're just saying, these are the instructions that come ahead of this instruction.
Amen. And we're gonna add. I'll add more to that in point three. Point three. We're gonna be taking a look there. We'll get there. Thank you, Dave. I love this. Know that you can do exactly what he just did, and that's okay. That's what we want. That's wonderful. So, again, in our lives, when we don't follow God's instruction, it is sinful. When we don't follow God's instruction, it is sinful. It is rebellious. It leads to destruction. And it's selfish and ultimately satanic to not follow God's instructions. So the way of the Christian life and following God's word obedient, it's about following God's word obediently in love in the Lord. So keep what Dave said in mind. We're gonna get there. we're going to get there to verse 12 eventually by point number three. Point number one, we must seek the Lord and His way in Christian marriage. We must seek the Lord and His way in Christian marriage. So God gives us instruction. God gives instruction for marriage, that it is between one man and one woman, as it is fit in the Lord. Commentator David Powell writes this: Paul begins this household code by addressing the marital relationship. In the word wives can be translated as women, but it clearly applies to wives. And submit, the word submit, signifies that the wives should voluntarily subject themselves to their husbands. And what Dave just said that I'm going to reiterate here, it makes it a whole lot easier when the husband is doing his role of loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Now, for example, if a husband is not a follower of the Lord and the wife is, it is most important for the wife to follow Scripture. We're going to get there more in point two of in those regards, but I want to make that clear. So we're going to continue on with the Genesis account. We're in Genesis this morning with Pastor Randy. So as we look at God's design for husband and a wife, it's important for us to turn to the creation order. I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It says this: When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So as we talked this morning, it's really good for us to meditate upon the truth. Meditate upon God as creator. God's creation of man is a miracle. It's a miracle of the Lord himself that God created you, to think out how intricately he created us, that you didn't bring forth yourself. God did. Created you, knows you by name. We talked about how vast the galaxy is, and he knows you. And he created you in his image. Take a look around this room. Take a look around this room at each other. We are his image bearers. We are his image bearers. He formed us from the dust of the ground and breathed into man the breath of life. And we'll carry on to verse 15. Genesis 2 says these words: And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Cling to that verse. Hold on to that truth. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So what, as we look at this passage that we just read, got some church bells. What does this passage reveal to us about the role of the wife and the woman? What does this passage that we just read in Genesis 2 reveal to us about the wife and the woman?
She's a helper.
Suitable helper. By raise of hands, how many of you are married? I want you to think about what Pastor Randy said this morning about just the sheer vastness of the galaxy and the amount of people in this world that God provided for you, husbands, a suitable helper. For the wives, a husband that we pray leads you to Christ and leads your family. In the book of Song of Songs, Song of Solomon says this, chapter 3, verse 4 says, I have found the one whom my soul loves. And marriage is a beautiful thing, and it is a gift from the Lord. Katie and I met in 2009. We met at a church retreat in high school, and it wasn't until our senior year of high school that started to go, I think I like this gal. And we began to pray together. We began to read God's word together. And it wasn't until our freshman year of college that we began to date, and we dated all through college. Katie went to Augie, I went to USF, and we did that 3-block walk. Back and forth between USF and Augie, and remain consistent in that of being in God's word together, having him be the foundation of our dating relationship, and then leading into our marriage. And so that response that Mike just gave. So husbands, what we need to reflect on is, and we need to be thankful. We must be thankful for the suitable helper that God has provided for us. And thanks be to God. So as we continue to take a look at the role of the wife in submission to the husband, it's important for us to look at the fall. It's important for us to look at Genesis 3, verses 1 through 21. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's instruction for... Yeah. instruction for us. Yeah. No, thank you, Lee. I appreciate your insight. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 21. Would someone be willing to read verses 1 through 7? And then someone else, verses 8 through... We'll break this down into a few parts here. Would someone be willing to read that first section here, verses 1 through 7? Thank you, Ardell. So this is the beginning of broken homes. The fall of man, sinfulness. Someone would be willing to read 8 through 13. Right, so we see the sin, we see the shame and the blame. Verses 14 through 21. I will read here. It says these words: The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all beasts of the field. All on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children," especially as we're talking about the verse that we're in this morning. Notice this: Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their shame, we see the compassion of the Lord in verse 11. And the verse I want you to focus on here, verse 16, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So here's where we get for wives to submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. From the very beginning, from the very origins, from the fall. So the sinful rebellion of Adam and Eve led to the damaging conflict between husband and wife. So because of sin, wives have the fleshly desire to not submit to their husband, not submit to their loving husband. When you think of today's modern movement, think of the feminist movement is sinful. It goes against God's word and God's way. So in our text for today, in Colossians 3:18, we must ask the straightforward question: What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it look like for a wife to submit to her husband? I agree with commentator Peter O'Brien, says this: it means to submit voluntarily. So it means to submit voluntarily out of love. In the name of the Lord, out of love. And I want to be clear. It is never okay for a husband to use this verse to manipulate, in the form of control, because that is not love. That is not sacrificial love. So it's never to be used in the form of abuse of his wife. We'll talk more about the role of the husband next Sunday. But the wife is to submit voluntarily to her husband. I can think of countless ways that Katie does this, and I'm forever grateful. And as what you have to think about, what does this do for the husband? It's affirming. It's affirming to the husband and of his role as the leader of the family. So it affirms him. I think of this past week alone. There's several times that I'm in my role as a youth pastor. There are several times that throughout the year that I'm gone, and Katie's with the boys, and I'm very grateful for my in-laws. They come up and help her, and it makes it an amazing week. It's not burdensome. It's a great time for grandparents. But there's just several times throughout the year that I'm gone, and I rarely ever hear her complain. And she serves our family so well in countless ways, and likely ways that I don't even know. So husbands, we must be thankful for our wives. I mean, we must show that and say that. I know for myself, like that's convicting. How often, like I can think of, I had a youth leader once that she went on a mission trip with our youth group. This is when I was serving at First Reformed, and we get back from a week-long mission trip, and the house is filthy, a pile of dishes from him, just waiting for her to get home. Like, we have the role of loving our wives, so there'll be a greater charge there. In that, look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. And this is, we're on point number two here. Point number two is submission does not mean you put your husband above Christ. Submission does not mean that you put your husband above Christ. So Christ is the head of all. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So what's most important is that you are in the Lord. So Ephesians 5, beginning verse 22, says this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives must submit in everything to their husbands. Continue to verse, we'll continue on here. It says these words, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So looking at that last line there, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. When a wife is not submissive to her loving Christ-like husband, it is disrespectful. It is disrespectful. It goes against God's design. So in both verse 22 here, and in Ephesians 5 and in Colossians 3:18, the wife's submission to her husband is to submit to her husband as to the Lord. So Peter O'Brien states that this expression, as to the Lord, means that the Lord Jesus is the criterion of what is fitting, or more likely designates the proper attitude and behavior within the new fellowship of those who Christ is Lord of their lives. We're gonna jump to point three here. Point three, submission. Submission is the calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's Christ-like leadership in their family. So, with what Dave said earlier, to gain for the best literary context, what we must do is we must see what comes prior. Well, we must see what comes prior in the text, and so we're going to look at Colossians 3. Verse 12 through 17. So it says, put on then, and this is to the church. So this is for the family, this is for the husbands, this is for the wives. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. I've had many of you raise your hands if you're married. You know this is true. You can think of how easy it is for us to hurt those that are closest to us. How easy it can be to be snippy. The amount of times that, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I snapped. I didn't mean to do that. I love you. Forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you, and so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love. So when I think of love within marriage, it's looking to the Lord. You look to the Lord, tying fully with Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, seek him. Look to the Lord, seek him. Outdo each other in showing honor. Seek for the betterment of your spouse and not to your own interests. To value each other. To value each other. And to endure. You can think of the hardships that you face, the difficulty, the challenges that you face in marriage. Submit first to the Lord. Submit first to his teachings. So we must submit to the teachings that we read here, beginning in verse 12. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Binds them all together in perfect harmony. For the sake of time, we're going to take a look at one of these passages here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 9. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 9. The area in which that I have seen this text be most abused is when it, let's say a husband's in the mood and wants to have sex, submit to me. We're going to take a look at what Paul says in these words here in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 9. And the Bible's written many years ago, and it is a beautiful thing that it applies to now. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 9. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. So, and Paul will later go on to say, it's better to be like me, to be single, to be able to serve in the church. Verse 2. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. And look closely at verse 3. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. Remember what I said earlier and what Pastor Randy said this morning. Think of how vast our galaxy is. For those of you that are married, out of all the people in this world, the Lord provided for you, your spouse. And that's the person that God chose for you to love, to cherish. Refresh yourself of the vows that you made on your wedding day. Your vow to the Lord, your vow to each other, your vow to... You had witnesses on your wedding day to keep. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. That's a beautiful thing right there. But it's also, don't abuse it. Don't abuse that. Verse 4, for the wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So the area in which that abuse arises is when there's not love. So there must be love. There must be love. There must be Christ at the center. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time. And I love this, because we have a solution here. Because if there is a season that is lacking of intimacy, Paul says this, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. How often do we do that in marriage? Do it. Pray. Pray together. Fast. In the Lord. So we'll close with this. I know we're over time. But we'll close with these words. This is what we taught to the children at Bridge of Hope. Tying it all in, a focus on godly love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So what is most important as we talk about the role of the Christian household must be rooted in Christ, rooted in his love. So for wives, your submission to your husband must be in love. It must be rooted in the Lord. Any questions? For those of you that interacted, expect the same next week, okay? And for those of you that didn't, you're more than welcome. That's one of the goals, have more interaction. I'm going to pray, and then we'll depart. And look forward to seeing each other back this evening. God, I thank you for your word. I pray that we would be people that love well in a world that is so divisive, so sinful. God, I pray that you would protect the marriages that are represented in our church. Pray for any marriages within our church that are struggling. Maybe there's issues that we can't even imagine. Lord, we pray for your power, for your Holy Spirit to intervene. And God, I just pray that you would guide and protect us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope to see you back. 6 o'clock tonight.